let's see if this button here works. I mean, how's that? Is that it over here?
Yeah, here we go. I don't know who turns supposed to turn it off, but I never do remember to turn it off. But God bless whoever did. And so don't forget that. In the book of Ezekiel tonight, we're going to be looking over in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 23. Chapter 22 and chapter number 23. We're going to be looking there for a little while this evening. And so when you find the place, if you're able to stand, we'll read out verse number 30 for our text. And I will do these things unto thee, because that thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen, and because that thou art polluted with their idols. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, and therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd right every wrong. Bless, I pray, these that have gathered here this evening, and we'll thank you and praise you for saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach on whoring after the heathen. When you look into this lesson that's here, you're going to find out you're either going to worship God, you're either going to walk in holiness with the Holy One, or you're going to walk with a whore that's totally contrary to the mind of God and run around with the heathen world. Did you know the longer that you look at a bad thing, the better it'll look to you? That's the reason in the day and hour that we're living in is that we've heard so much God denying, God defying, God cussing heathens to where we're callous by familiarity. I can remember whenever I first got saved, first time I ever heard anybody that would use God's name in vain, and I still cringe every time. But anyhow, but as time passed, it got to where that I just kind of ignored it. It's just a common everyday occurrence in life. In fact, as I've told some people, don't talk to me about what a good Christian that you are. You use God's name in vain like it was a household cuss word, and that ought not to be. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that the Bible said in a few passages earlier, in fact, is in chapter number 22. In chapter number 22, he talked about there was a conspiracy that was in the land among the prophets in verse 25. And what they did were they began to side one with another and began to try to do what they could to be able to get along with each other and not mention anybody's sin anywhere. And as a result of that, you'll find out they had no sermon. In the day and hour that we're living in, if there's one thing we've lost, it's the sermon. Now, I'm not talking about here, and I'm not talking about a few people that we could name maybe on one hand. It might not take all those fingers, but I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, that God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and I found none. And I got to tell you right now that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, you'll find they have exercised robbery. I wanted somebody that could stand in and preach the word of the Lord. Here's what happened. This crowd got to where they had no sermon. This crowd here got to where they had no separation. This crowd here got to where they had no stability. This crowd here got to where that they took no stand. And that was in the day and hour that we're living in. You've noticed always around Christmas time, Easter time, you can see how far people have gotten off. They're busy putting the X back in Christmas by omitting their services on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that God begins to notice something about them. And by the way, I want to say that what they needed to do and what he tried to press them to do was to confess their sin. You know, the Bible said if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what happens, don't you, if you don't confess your sin? I'll tell you something. If you don't confess and forsake sin, sin will finally take you over. Here's how you can tell it, is that you can tell it because it'll make you snappy. It'll make you unappreciative. It'll make you grouchy. it'll make, because you know why? You've got your guard up even unknowingly. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to play both ends again in the middle. And it'll finally catch up with you sooner or later in life. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find, number one, there were two women that were mentioned here. One mother, and being the nation of Israel. And there was Aholah from Samaria, and there was Aholibah from Jerusalem. One of them 10 tribes, one of them had the other two. Now, in verse number 3 of our text tonight, in chapter number 23, you're going to find out is that there they are. And you'll find out is that their whoredoms in verse number 3 is beginning to get mentioned. In fact, is you'll find it looking about verse number 3. And they committed whoredoms in Egypt. They committed whoredoms in their youth. And they were their breasts pressed. And they bruised the teats of their virginity and all of that. You know what a teat is? Well, it's the nipple end or the feeding end of the breast, if you please. And then what happened was is that they got to where that they'd been fondled so much. Hey, girls, by the way, it's normal for a young man to want to fondle your breast while you're going together, but you ought not to let him. God bless you. Thank you very much. And God bless you women for your service. I mean, let's just be real about it. But there's some things ought not to be dealt with. I mean, we live in a day and an hour now to where that every now and again somebody say, hey, we're fixing to get married and all that. We met a young lady the other night, one of my favorite people in all the world that doesn't know the Lord, lived for let's see here, 9 years. They went together and lived out of wedlock for 9 years and then got married in the 10th year. And said, we just went ahead and filled out all the paperwork because we've already had all the other time and excitement. I mean, the kind of gal, and I asked, here's what I said. I said, hey, I'd like to have some gravy with these grits. Or either the wife said that, one of us said that. And, buddy, she sings all them songs from the 50s, this gal does. And they were singing that Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Remember that song and all that? Well, she was singing that when she brought them grits and said, somewhere over the rainbow, there is grits. Or there is gravy. That's what she said. And so she's just a hoot. I want to say to you that if you will, please, you're going to meet a lot of people like that up and down the line. But if you don't guard your own heart, your own life, your own back, you'll end up getting messed up down the road with something. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that what happened to her is that in verse number 3, is that you'll find in verse number 4, he mentions the name there. One of them is Aholah and the other is Aholibah. And the sister. And the Bible said, thus their names were Samaria is Aholah and Jerusalem Aholibah. And so, and Aholah played the harlot when she was mine, and she doted on her lovers and the Assyrians and her neighbors, which were clothed with blue captains and rulers and all of them. Now, here's what happened was, but she got to where that caught her eye, those men wearing those captains' uniforms. And oh, it got to where she doted on it. She thought about it. Day and night, night and day, whatever you will, please. It just, do you know if you dote on something long enough, it finally obsesses you? That's the truth of the matter and all that. Now, let me tell you right now, that's the reason. Why do you think God said in the Ten Commandments that we're not to covet a man's ox, his ass, his wife, and so forth? Why do you think God says that? You dote on something long enough, you'll be doting on something you ought not to be having. In this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the world finally messed up her mind. And no doubt that's the truth of the matter. You dote on something long enough that ought not to be, and it'll mess your mind up. Let me tell you something, is that her wants that she had, she wanted to be like the neighbors of the world. She wanted to worship in idolatry. She wanted to have the same kind of wardrobe. She wanted to involve in the same wickedness that the world around her was involved in. You remember over there the Bible said that evil communications corrupt good manners? Well, that's what he's talking about. If you look at a bad thing long enough, it'll go to looking good to you. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that she, in verse number 6, she got to looking after those men that were clothed in blue, captains and rulers and so forth and all. And she got to looking at them, and boy, I'm telling you, she just couldn't get her mind off of it. She saw those men of rank and position. She saw those men on their high horses. Now, let me say to you that if you were sort of like Eve, remember Eve back over in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis in chapter number 3 and about verse number 4, and you'll find that over there in that chapter that Eve was such a person in chapter number 3 and verse number 4, she's hanging around over there one day talking to the devil. Now, she'd have been better off if she'd have just stayed away from the devil altogether, but it's just a matter that he's a good conversationalist. The reason I know that, we've had a conversation or two that he sounded pretty good in. I know none of you have ever gone that route and route. He's a convincing devil is what he is. And as a result of that, he was busy there talking. And by the way, did you remember if you read Genesis in chapter number 3, that 75% of what he told Eve was from the Bible? I mean, it sounded pretty good, didn't it? That's the way some of you girls will be, you know. You run upon one of these days some filthy-looking man with a lockjaw germ. Or you running upon some young lady, well, Daddy, I'll tell you this, or Mama, I'll tell you that. He's like a whole lot like the preacher. Well, I can tell you this, Mama. She may not be meet your approval, but she's a whole lot like the best women in our church. She's a lot like the preacher's wife. Well, how much unlike is it? I can tell you right now, you know, while they're singing that song tonight, you know, that he will remember me, that always grips me and squeezes my heart and makes juice run out my eyes because my dear old mama, buddy, she would look at me there for like the last several years. She didn't have a clue who I was. And I'd take her over there by the picture. Mama, look here. Here's a picture. There's me and there's you and there's the two sisters there and all. And you're kidding me. I said, no, see, that's why the picture's made there and all that. I said, who do you think I am? Well, I'm a good man working on this house. I said, well, there you go. That's close enough. I used to go visit her at the nursing home a little bit, and she'd try to introduce me to somebody and say, this right here is my uncle. She'd look at me, my uncle? I said, that's close enough, Mom. That's close enough. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, please, is that while that we live in this world of turmoil and sin and anguish, is that it's good to be able to know that we're leaving here one of these days and headed to the other side, and everything will be straightened out. But in the meantime, you ought to guard your heart and guard your life and guard your mind. Now, by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, please, is that I don't know how to put this here to you, but everything that you ought not to be doing, you ought to be doing with your spouse. What you ought not to be doing while you're dating, you ought to be doing, and isn't that something? You know what's wrong with the average Baptist home? You know what's wrong with it? When once they say I do and they get married and the honeymoon's over, oh, get away from me. I mean, my word is all that. Is that all there is to it like that? And now, I mean, buddy, it's like she's guarding all the goodies like they were gold in Fort Knox. See what I'm talking about? And, boy, let me tell you right now, I don't want to shake anybody up, but once them kids go to coming along, I said all that to be able to say this. Israel got into the place and got in the mess that she was in because she started letting her wants and what she doted on and thought on, and she ought not have been. She finally got to where that got a hold of her mind. And just like Eve that was in the Garden of Eden there, you'll find out is that she went ahead and sided with the devil, took of the fruit, so forth and on, and as a result got her husband to be able to take of it as well. In verse number 7 back of our text, you're going to find out is that her and her sister both, they begin to commit whoredoms. Now, if you read all of chapter 22, verse 11 of chapter 22, Ezekiel, one hath committed an abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. Another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. See that? You could go on and you could finally realize and know that it was a mess from one sexual sin to incest and another. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out she committed whoredoms with them when she got to where she doted on them too much. Listen, over there in the book of Matthew chapter 5, do you remember Jesus said that whenever you look to lust, your hand to finally reach to touch in that manner? That's the truth, isn't it? And as a result of that, lust every now and again is going to consume you. It doesn't have to always be a sexual thing. It may be something else materially. You ever wanted something so bad and you thought about it day and thought about it night and I don't need to buy that or get that. And you finally ended up giving into it, and then when the first note came due, you're wondering why God let you do that. I'm going to tell you by example, you don't have to pray about the will of God if you're about to make a purchase. All you got to do is have enough credit to be able to get approved on it. Whether God's in it or not, probably he's not, if so be that you're having to worry him that much about it. But I used to pray about, Lord, let me get that. Now, I mean, I don't know why I prayed about it. I ended up getting a vehicle, and boy, once I got it, I enjoyed that buddy for 30 days. I mean, I had it more than 30 days, but I didn't enjoy after the 30 days and the note came due. I don't know how some of these people get by with the kind of house they're building and buying and all forth and so forth and on, but I'm for it. I'm not against it. I'm just saying to you that if you will, please, is that this woman here, she finally ended up being so consumed with the world and captain's uniforms and rank of position to where that as a result of that, she ended up and defiled herself. Now, I want to say in closing tonight as we get ready to get down to the short row in verse number 8 and 10 of chapter number 23, and you can look at it. She committed whoredoms with people like from Egypt in verse number 8. And you'll find out is that as verse number 9, they finally had a hold of her mind, so that's all she could think about. And not only do they have her mind, but now they've got her. I want to say to you that as we look into that, that the damage that death had caused upon her sister, she began to dote about the same thing and the same crowd, and as a result of that, she's going to pay the same price and worse. You know, in this lesson that you're looking at, remember over there one day when Simon Peter and John were going into the house of God, and that man that had been crippled from his mother's womb, remember that? And they were out there begging, and Simon Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some things in this world that money cannot buy. And if you're not careful, you'll get your eye on the wrong thing in life and all that business that's there. And let me say to you, you'll find it was a defiling factor between her and her sister. And as a result of that, being one mother, being Israel, and let me say to you that as time went along, it was a downhill run, and it was down, down, down until finally all that doting got a hold of her heart and her mind, and finally it had her. In closing tonight, once again, well, I want to say to you that if you will, that when it started out, it just seems like that the desirable now is about to become undesirable. And the reason being is because it's such an oppression. I used to try to tell all these boys and girls that are here, and of course all of you now, you're doing so much better than I dreamed that I would ever be able to do. But here's good advice regardless of where you're at. You never want to buy a vehicle that you lose the joy of driving because of the horrendous note. You see what I'm talking about? You never want to drive a vehicle that you may think, man, this is fine. And then you're asking God in 30 days why he let you buy it. Yes. Same way with the house. Yes. You never want to have beyond your means, and God may supply that need. But you never want to get to the place, whatever you do in life, that you lose the joy of whatever the thing is because of the burden that it now has got you drugged down with. See, that's not an easy task to be able to learn, and nobody ever wants to say nothing about it. And the fact is, you'll find out if you listen too much to family and friends and this and that, what they'll end up doing is they'll end up helping you and selling you on the very thing they know that you probably ought to back off from. And as a result of that, now there's going to be somebody somewhere going to get blamed, and there's going to be trouble that's going to ensue. I want to say to you as we're through tonight, it's just good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. You say, what was her remedy? Well, I'll tell you what it would have been: to repent toward God, and instead of wanting to be like the rest of the world. You know, that's what happened to Israel. Remember when Israel, they told Samuel, we'd like to be like the rest of the world. We want a king we can see, somebody we can touch. And that's how come Saul came in on the picture. They didn't like it whenever he got the taxing them, got the taking away their oxes and asses and goats and things of that. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all when he didn't work out the way they thought that he ought to work out. I want to say as we look at this, and that's it tonight, is that you'll find out if you go to doting on something, you might ought to pay close attention before it goes ahead. And while you've got a hold of it, be careful lest it finally gets a hold of you. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We ask your blessings upon every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. We pray that, Lord, you'd find us busily occupied about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. We say with the men and women, the prophets and apostles and the men of God of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable, in Jesus' name. Amen.